Good evening, everyone. It's good to be back again and to be talking to you about the things that we see in this day. Someone wrote me and told me, said, Brother Parnell, you should introduce yourself when you start these up, because a lot of people don't know who you are, and it shows up on YouTube or Facebook, and so it takes them a long time to figure out who you are. So I am Atori Aloyansa on Facebook. You will find me there under that name and on YouTube, and I'm Donald Parnell, and you can also find that on Facebook, and I usually take care of that also. And we are going to discuss some things on June the 21st, 2023. And I'm sitting here waiting just a minute, letting different ones come on that would like to come on. But we've been talking some. We talked about walking the road of freedom. And it's been a hard time to be able to explain the road we're on to people, because they think that we have devolved, demised, became less than we were before we came here. And that's no part of dissension. Yes, we did descend. We descended from a much higher vibration to a lower vibration. Lower just meaning a denser, slower vibration, so that our energy would create matter and we would be able to see ourselves. And what you're looking at is Don Parnell. You're looking at my energy. My energy has created this. And, you know, a lot of people say, well, you know, aren't we supposed to get a theophany someday? And isn't that going to be totally different? Well, why don't you look up the word theophany? Just take your time. It's a Greek word. And the first four letters of theophany is T-H-E-O, Theo. And we all know that Theo means logic. So there is a part of me that is logic, came from the very mind of Christ, Logos. Logos means logic. And then Phanē, P-H-A-N-Y. Phanē is just a word attached to logic or theo, and it means a body or a something that is tangible. So what you're looking at sitting here, someone said, well, we don't have our theophany yet. Well, you wouldn't be breathing. You wouldn't be alive if you didn't have a theophany right here, right now. I have a logic. I have a theophany. It is living in me. And theophany or theophany is the two that come together. The logic, the logos, the pillar of fire, and the flesh. And when those two come together, you've got theo on one hand, which is the logic. You've got phanē on the other hand, which is tangible, something tangible, and you put those two together. So how do you do that? You take theo, which is pure energy, and you slow it down until it looks or is able to attach itself to phanē. And in so doing, you become what we're looking at. Many people are saying, I can't wait to get over there and see my theophany. You're looking at your theophany every day. Every day you look in the mirror. Every day that you go out to the car to drive, your theophany is driving a car. When you feed the horses, your theophany is feeding the horses. When you walk, your theophany is walking. And that's hard for some people to believe, for the way that it's been preached for generation after generation. But the theophany is just the pillar of fire, the logos, inside a body. And the way it gets inside the body, it's not a matter of the body's here and then here comes a, a, Theo and jumps in the body. That's not what it is. It's just very simple matter. There is a higher vibration and a lower vibration. There's higher frequency and lower frequency. And the Theo and is in the higher vibration and the higher frequency, so it has to descend. It doesn't descend into, doesn't become a horrible monster by descending. It just slows itself down until it can see itself in matter. And that's what you're looking at when you look at each one of us. So just talking a little bit while I still see different ones coming on. So when you're talking of a theophany, you know, a lady, one day she was telling Brother Branham, she said, I was standing in a meeting, and she said, I was praying, and she said, all of a sudden I felt something. And she said, I looked and I seen myself outside of myself, and I was kind of up in the corner of a room, up at the ceiling. And she said, then it came back real quick. And Brother Branham said, that was your theophany. But people think it's not dwelling in them now. You can't have a phony. You can't have a product that you can see with the natural eye until Theo slows itself down enough so you can see it. So you're looking at your theophany body. Now, the elements that you're in, just like Jesus, he was born virgin, but then he began to eat from his mother's breast. He began to eat from the dust of the earth. He began to do all these things. And as he did that, it began to age and take on age. And had Jesus not been crucified, he'd have done just like Adam. He'd have died of old age. But when we understand that, then I can see why, even though this is my theophany, it is my Theo and my body, the Theo slowing down to create this body. And inside of these elements, there will be a time when it begins to speed itself back up. You know how it is when you're young, the days seem so long and you can't wait to be able to get old enough to do this and that, and it seems like it takes forever. But then when you hit that mid-grade and you're doing all those things and all of a sudden you've got children and you've got grandchildren and everything, then the day seems like it don't seem like 24 hours. A year seems like 24 hours, about what it seems like to me. It goes by so fast, and it's because the theophany is speeding itself back up gradually until it speeds itself, and you might be 81, 85, 95, 105, but it speeds itself back up gradually to disappear in this realm and not be seen anymore. That's all that's going on, is we descended in vibration and frequency. Descend just means we came into slower vibrations and frequencies so we could touch and feel and see. And when we did that, what I want to talk on tonight for just a few minutes is, behold, all things are new. Now, the word new, maybe you should look that one up too. Look theophany up when you get a chance. And you'll have to go into the Greek and Hebrew and all that, but you'll find what I'm talking about. And then the next word is new. Many people think, you know, you say to yourself, well, I went and bought a new car. It's brand new. Behold, it's a whatever it might be, a Chevy, a GMC or whatever, and I just bought it. Well, it's new. And they put a warranty on it because things are going to go wrong with it. So they give you a warranty for 100,000 miles or 3 years or whatever it might be, because even though it's new, it's brand new, and you look at it and you say, this is brand new, there are things that still are not going to work just right on it, so you get a warranty for it. Well, you know, when we come into all things are new, he said, behold, all things are new, and I'm going to read it here in a minute. Let me put it like this to you before we read it. Adam, when he came from Theo into the human body, into the spoken word body, he could look around himself and say, behold, all things are new. But not exactly, because the spoken word body was an attribute that was in the tree of life, which Adam slowed his process down enough to put it on and form into that being. And Adam could look around and say, behold, all things are new. There's botany life, there's animal life, there's sea creatures, there's fowl, there's all of these things. They're all across the earth, everything. Behold, it's brand new. Behold, all things are new. And he could say that, and him and Eve, when he brought Eve out of him, he could look at her and say, behold, all things are new. He could look at everything and declare all things to be new, even though we know that all those things were already in the mind of Christ before they ever came here. So when we declare something new, now let's think like this. Adam decides to take the human way, not the spoken word way, but he decides to take the human way for reproducing. So he intimately has a relationship with his wife, and they begin to produce. And immediately, the voice of God speaks to him and tells him, because you have done this, things are going to change. And they begin to change immediately. Death began to move upon the face of the earth. Adam's wife became pregnated, and she is growing 9 months in a womb. The voice of the Lord told him, he told the serpent, he said, on your belly you'll go, and the dust of the earth you'll eat all the days of your life. And Eve shall bring forth children in sorrow. Well, what was all that about? Someone said, well, that was the serpent, the devil saying all that. No, it wasn't. It was the voice inside Adam and Eve. It was the voice of God that speaks to you every day. And what he was saying is, your children aren't going to come like you did. They're going to come out of Eve's womb, not your spoken word. They're going to come out of Eve's womb, and they're going to be crawling on their belly. There's the serpent. Every little baby that comes out of the womb of a woman and starts crawling on its belly. And he said, the dust of the earth shall they eat all the days of their life. And you got this little baby that's grown up eating what? The dust of the earth all the days of its life. So what we have is a truth, and the serpent is the humanity, and the serpent, the humanity has the attribute of that serpent within them just by the very characteristics of how we are. And we also, he said that there would come a redeemer. And he said, the Christ, you shall bruise his heel, but he shall bruise your head. So there was also inside humanity a promise and a theo or a logos that would bring us out of all that trouble. So right inside humanity laid the serpent and the Christ. And really, to be honest with you, it's just one nature. That's all it is. So we have this going on. Now, Adam could have spoke up and said, behold, all things are new. Now, it didn't seem so new, did it? When things were dying, when trees began to die, and when all these different things begin to happen, and animals begin to fight one another, and they begin to eat one another, and they had to protect themselves, and they had to do all kinds of things, and they walked out of the fellowship of the Garden of Eden condition, and 90% of their mind was closed off, and they couldn't even use it, and they began to trek that long trek of the Red Redemption Road back to Calvary. But it was all new. Behold, all things are new. Adam could have said that. And when Jesus Christ came, there was never, ever one man ever born the way Jesus Christ was born. Never, ever. Adam came by spoken word out of the mouth of the Lord. No woman. Adam, like our prophet told us, Adam's theophany, the theo, the spirit, put its feet into the earth. And you say, well, spirit don't have feet. Well, I'll show you where it does. He said he put his feet into the earth and called for the dust to come up on him. And when the dust came up on him, the image of man was right here. It was, he had his arms, his hands, his feet. He had all these things. And you say, well, the Spirit doesn't have that, Brother Parnell. Well, let's go over to Revelation 10. And let's read where it said, a mighty angel descended from heaven and had a book in his hand. And a pillar of fire over his, now we're talking about Spirit, pillar of fire over his head. And so now I've got a spirit that's got a head and hands, that's for sure. And it said that he put both feet on the earth, put one foot on land and one foot on sea. So now I got feet, I got hands, I got a head. I think we got a body there in spirit form. And that body in spirit form is what forms this body here right now. So when we see these things, now when Jesus Christ came, he was different than any other man that had ever been created because he was virgin born by the spoken word, but came through a woman, 9 months pregnant, and produced that son. And then he began to, as a virgin born son through the womb of a woman, that's why Galatians 4 said he came under the law, under a woman. He was there. And then he began to eat of the things of the earth, the tomatoes, the corn, the beans, the whatever they eat, the bread. He ate all those things, and he began to become like the earth, and he began to age like the earth and everything just like the earth. But he was brand new. Jesus said it many times throughout Revelation and other places, behold, all things are new. Now, it didn't look new. But it was new. He wore an old gray robe. He wore sandals on his dusty feet that had the manure and everything else on them. He got headaches. He wandered about with Son of Man with no place to lay his head. It didn't look new to me. And he goes to Calvary and he hangs there and they do every possible thing they can do to him. They beat him with clubs and staves. They put a crown of thorns on his head. They done everything to him that they can do. But Jesus could still, through faith, look at the reward that was ahead of him and say, behold, all things are new. And it was all new. No one had ever come like that before. So when we say, behold, all things are new, the word new just means this, something you have not experienced before. Now, if I go buy that 49 coupe or 49 Ford off of Larry, he's got sitting down there in his garage, I could say, behold, all things are new. I've never experienced a 1949 Ford before. Behold, all things are new. Now, Larry would know better. He would know that it's all things got certain pieces of it's repaired, certain thing of it's original, paints are not original. He'd know all kinds of things about it. But for me, I stick a key in it, start it up and drive away, and I'm saying, hallelujah, behold, all things are new. This is great. Well, that's kind of the way it was with every time, behold, all things are new. And so new just means something that you have not experienced before. It doesn't necessarily mean that it is, quote, never existed before. It doesn't mean that. It just means it's new to you. I could say in 19, the creation had been here for thousands upon thousands and thousands and millions of years. But when I was born on February 8th, 1954, had I had the capability of doing so, I could have stood up and screamed out and said, behold, all things are new. Well, it was new for me because I had never been there before, coming from the womb of a woman, walking into the earth. And every experience that you have, it's the same thing. Now, I want to read this. In Revelations 21 and 5, he says, he that sat upon the throne. How many knows where the throne is at? Do you know? If you don't know, listen very closely. Your prophet said, the throne of God is in the heart of man. That's what he said. Now, behold, he that sat upon the throne, there's sitting inside your heart. Behold, I make all things new. And he said unto me, write, for these words are true and faithful. And that's exactly what he'd done for you from the day that you moved out of a theo realm of logic and you came into a phoné realm and connected theo and phoné together and slowed down to the vibration where you could look at yourself and see yourself. Behold, all things are new to you. How's that so, Brother Parnell? Because you had never experienced these things. Never had you touched a flower. Never had you smelled a flower. Never had you tasted any water. Never have you, even the ones who've died and gone on, and Brother Brandon went there to talk to them. They said, this, we can't eat and we can't sleep and we can't enjoy the things you're enjoying until we get back down there. See, and what was it? They were in a body that was theo, and they were going to come back here to put on phoné again. So we see this now. He says over in the 21st chapter or 22nd chapter, he said, I heard a voice out of heaven saying, behold, the tabernacle of God is with men. Now I want to tell you, in the Greek and in the Hebrew and in the old Tyndale Bible, it reads like this. I heard a great voice out of heaven saying, behold, the tabernacle of the Spirit is in man, not with man, and he will dwell in them, and they shall be his people, and the Spirit himself shall be with them and in them and be their God. And God shall wipe away all tears from their eyes, and there shall be no more death, neither sorrow nor crying, neither shall there be any more pain, for the former things are passed away, and behold, all things are new. And he that sat upon the throne said, behold, I make all things new. Now, how does he do that? Remember, new is just something you haven't experienced. So from the day you took your first breath, right here in this earth, slowed your theo down enough to put on some earth, like Adam in the spirit called the earth and it came upon him. From the day you did that, behold, all things are new. Every experience you have, every person you run into, all of your education, all of your understanding, the born again experience, all the things that you had done to you, the baptism in the name of Jesus Christ, you never done any of those. That was a logic you had. That was a theo you had. And when you dropped into a low enough vibration to put things on, then you could go down to the water and be baptized. Then you could feel the Holy Spirit moving in your life. Then you could taste the food. You could drink the water. You could smell the flowers. You could do all the, and behold, all things are new. You could have one child, two child, three child, some of you five, six, ten. You can have all those children, and every one of them in childbirth is saying, behold, all things are new. That's right. Eduardo is not like William. And I could just go on and on and on. Lonnie is not like Donald. And Mike is not like Lonnie. It's all a brand new experience. When Sister Norad had her boys, they're two different boys altogether. I can see that by talking to them. And both of them love the Lord with all their heart. But both of them is a brand new experience. Behold, all things are new. The day you got your first headache, you had never experienced it before. The day you got your first rotten tooth, you had never experienced it before. The day that you had your first infection, your first operation, the first time somebody told you they hated you, the first time somebody tried to destroy you, behold, all things are new. When we can realize that this is the greatest place we've ever come to. You couldn't do these things in the realm before us. You had the logic of what it was. And that's why I say when we come here, we were taught in the past how to try to become the Word. We were already the Word. We've never not been the Word. But when we come here, what we're trying to do is line up our experience and the Word to where they can tolerate and live together and make a human being. That's what this is about. Many things about the Word will not work today. If you think it will, if you think the Lord would accept it, go ahead and do your sacrifices, do your one-tenth, do your this, do your that. Do you know in the Old Testament, when they gave sacrifices, somebody told me the other day, he said, Brother Parnell, where do you pay your tithes? And I said, I don't understand what you're saying for this day and age. What do you mean? And he said, well, you know, the tithes are something you're supposed to pay to the church or pay to the pastor or pay to somebody. And I said, let me talk to you about a tenth for just a minute, and then you can make that decision again if you want to. I said, in the Old Testament, the scripture used to say, if you're going to make a meal offering, put one-tenth salt in the meal offering. It says, if you're going to make a cake, put one-tenth salt in the cake. If you're going to make manna, put one-tenth salt in the manna. Whatever you made, if you're going to make bread, put one-tenth salt. Every time, salt was to be put in as one-tenth. You know, that's what everybody claims. You're supposed to give one-tenth of your money to somebody. I don't know who, but to somebody. But let me tell you something. The place you find one-tenth all the time is salt in the food. Salt in the food. Salt in the meal offering. Salt in the cake offering. Salt in the wheat offering, salt and salt, 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 salt. And then Jesus comes along and Jesus says what? Ye are the salt of the earth. What is he saying? He's saying, give your life back to the Lord. You're the one-tenth. You want to give one-tenth? Give yourself to the Lord. Salt is one-tenth. And Jesus said, you're the salt of the earth. So just give your heart and your body to the Lord. And that's what he's asking for. And if you want to give an offering or something to somebody, good Lord, give it to him. If you see a man out here that's doing good, if you see people that are doing good or a place that's doing good, feel free to give it to him. But don't think you're giving back one-tenth so that the Lord will bless you. You are the one-tenth. You are the one that is who Jesus was talking about, and you are the salt of the earth that Moses kept talking about. Always mix this one-tenth in. It's humanity. Humanity is the salt of the earth. So I can say now for many of you, behold, all things are new. I'm sure you never thought of it that way. But it's the way it is. Now, I want to read just a little bit more. He says over here, behold, all things are new. And he says over Matthew 24 and 44, therefore be ye also ready. Now listen real close. For in such an hour as ye think not, the Son of Man cometh. Think about that just a second. Therefore be ye also ready. For in the hour that you quit thinking, the Son of Man cometh. That's what Jesus was saying here. In an hour that you think not. Or in an hour when you quit thinking. Quit thinking it's rules. Quit thinking it's regulations. Quit thinking it's dogma. Quit thinking it's church. Quit thinking it's buildings. Quit thinking it's pastors and evangelists and teachers. Just quit thinking. And in the hour that you stop and think not, the Son of Man cometh. You'll begin to see who the Son of Man is. It's not rules and regulations and dogmas and creeds and prophecies and tongues and all these kind of things. That's not what the Son of Man is. The Son of Man is Christ in you, the hope of glory. And when you stop thinking about what you think is the Son of Man, somebody coming flying out of the heavens or something. Stop thinking that way. Think not, and the Son of Man will appear to you. He did me. When I stopped thinking, when I stopped trying to make rules and regulations, when I pulled away from the whole church age dogma and creed and everything else, when I came over here and it became a brand new day to me, I quit thinking, and the Son of Man appears to me on a regular basis, showing me things, working things through me. I am the Son of Man. The Son of Man is that spirit that lays in you, picks up your phoné, and it is him, and he's moving and walking and talking. Brother Branham told us in Souls in Prison Now, he said that the sixth seal, the Son of Man is now walking in earth. Well, who is that? That's those of us who decided to disturb, that's what the sixth seal means, a disturbance. Those of us that decided to disturb our thinking and stop it, we call it the Son of Man. And where is he walking? In your human flesh and in my human flesh. Behold, all things are new. Now, John, I told you about Jesus Christ and how Adam, how that he came into the Garden of Eden, all things were new. Then he came into humanity, all things are new. And then Jesus Christ came into humanity, all things are new. I can tell you that in 1963, from 63 to 65, you can't count on your fingers and toes how many times Brother Branham said, don't bring that old stuff over here. It won't work in this day. Burn it all. Make everything new. I could just take off quoting and sit here for, like most of them do, I could sit here for 2 hours and quote it off to you. But I'm not going to do that. I'm going to tell you it is happening all around you. And we are burning and getting rid of everything that we need to so that we can experience these new experiences. He says over here in 1 John 3, he said, behold what manner of love hath bestowed upon us that we should be called the sons of God. Therefore the world knoweth us not because it knew him not. Beloved, now are we the sons of God. Not going to be. Now we are the sons of God. And it doth not yet appear what we shall be. The body was still building. It was still church ages. It was still going on. John wrote this around 100 AD. And so he says, it's not yet appeared what we shall be or what we went, behold, now we are the sons of God, and it doth not yet appear what we shall be. The body had not been built yet. But we know that when he shall appear, when Christ appears, when we get the picture of Christ, when we see Christ in the sixth seal walking on the grounds, we shall be like him, for we shall see him as he is. When I look at Sister Norwood, I look at Jesus Christ. When I look at Brother Larry, I look at Jesus Christ. When I look at Paulette, I look at Jesus Christ. Whoever I'm looking at, I know because he has appeared to me. Quit thinking and trying to figure out what the Son of Man is and just be still and let him show himself to you. He's in human flesh. He's walking in the lower realms of vibration, trying to appear and make you see him through his flesh body. So we see this now. But we know that when he shall appear, we shall be like him, for we shall see him as he is. And we shall be like him. Or in other words, what we're going to be looking at is the same person, me and him. We're the same. If you think that's not true, go over and take a look in the message, Who Is This Melchizedek?, where Brother Branham's talking and he says, Melchizedek. And then he says, Abraham. And then he says, Jesus. And then he says, and you are all the same person. Now, what are you going to do with that? You're just going to throw that away and say, oh, you made a mistake. I don't think so. We're all the same person. We have appeared. He has appeared. We are him. And every man that has this hope in him purifieth himself, even as he is pure. Or in other words, we have no sin. Every man that catches the Son of Man and realizes who you are, you have no sin. This is a great day. This is a great understanding. You don't miss the mark. You have no sin. You have no faults. You have nothing imperfect. Everything about you is exactly what he is looking for. Because you are him now. Now I want to read this. The four angels of the scripture, the heavenly beings and the earthly beings of humanity, have now come together, and the nature has taken us higher than any consciousness that we have passed through. That's what's happened. We have become angelic. Read Matthew 22 and start at verse 22. Double strength there. Start at verse 22 and read down, and Jesus will tell you that we are in the resurrection, and the seven brethren are finished, and the woman has died, and now we are angelic. So we see this now. The separation is over. We are standing in the fullness of the Godhead bodily. Michael, Gabriel, Wormwood, and Lucifer are natures in us. Those four natures, did you know that Brother Branham said Michael was the angelic nature of Jesus Christ? Someone said, well, Michael's separate than Jesus Christ. Brother Branham didn't say that. He said that Michael is the angelic nature of Jesus Christ. Well, I'm telling you, let's go a little further. Michael, Gabriel, Wormwood, and Lucifer are the angelic natures that dwell in you. And you can partake of any of it that you want to, because they are just natures that are dwelling in you now. They are natures in us that come to reconciliation. They pull together now. After several millennia of being separated, we've come back to our origin. I hear many people talking about this now. We behold the four corners of the earth. We hold the four corners of the earth. We raised out of our intellect. And what intellect am I talking about? Euphrates River. The Euphrates River has dried up because we moved out of our intellect into a real understanding, a real people, a born-again experience. We moved out of the river Euphrates, and it loosed the winds of the Spirit on the earth. Look at the war that's going everywhere, and at the same time, look at how we're pulling together and becoming one. The angels being loosed out of Euphrates is a good thing. So many people are scared of it, and they're saying, well, it's going to cause war all over the earth. It's going to cause this and that. Sure, it will. But it's also those four angels' natures are now becoming one in us, and we're pulling out of our separation and becoming one in Christ and having this understanding. And it loosed the winds of the Spirit on the earth. We opened the bottomless pit. That's what Euphrates is. We opened the bottomless pit, Revelation's the 9th chapter, to judge and transform all that laid in the carnal mind. The bottomless pit, the river Euphrates, is nothing but the carnal mind. We dried up Euphrates and we opened the bottomless pit, or we stepped out of our carnal mind and its bottomless ways of misunderstanding and misinterpretation, and we are now becoming one and understanding, and we're transforming transforming all that laid in the carnal mind to bring it to a spiritual mind. We are the four life messengers. We are the four horse riders of the apocalypse. We are justification, sanctification, baptism of the Holy Ghost, and the full word. And we are the white horse, the red horse, the black horse, and the pale horse. Just depends what you want to ride on. This depends on what you want to be. It depends on how you want to identify yourself, because all of it is your nature. Now, we are heaven and earth. Now is the fullness of time. We are heaven and earth. We are glorification and we are hell. It depends on what you want. It depends on where you want to go. It depends on the horse you want to ride on. That's why I've always said, and I told people, I said, when I get on a horse, spiritually speaking, I ride that horse all the way out to the end of what I see. And if that horse falls dead somewhere in between, I get off of it. I don't come out here and start preaching it and saying, oh, this is this and this is that, and then get caught up later on and people saying, well, look at that mess. They might say, look at that mess, but I know where I'm at. I have rode this horse all the way out to the end. These four angels, behold, all things are new. All these natures are new to us. We had not beheld them before. We have not experienced them before. We have not had an understanding where we can, every time something happens, when you pull in and fill up with gas and you talk to somebody across the little aisle from you, it's a new experience. When you sit down at a restaurant and somebody comes up and says, I want to pay for your meal for the day. Or you walk up to somebody. I just met a man and he looked to me like he was probably in his 90s. And had a veteran hat on and he couldn't hardly do anything. And I walked up and put my hand on his shoulder. I said, are you a veteran, sir? He said, yes, I am. And he got such a smile come across his face. I said, I am so proud of you. I said, the things that you've done for us. I said, don't think that there are people in America that aren't proud of you, because we are. And he started crying. It just, people need touched. People need understanding. They need to feel that what they are doing is accomplishing things. And that's what's happening right now. We are accomplishing something that hasn't happened throughout time. Behold, all things are new to us. It's happening time and time and time again. It was new to them in their day, but it's brand new to us right now. And he said, all the former things are passed away. Just go read. I'm telling you, your prophet was full of that. And all former things are passed away. I wipe away all tears. What does he do? He takes your experiences. You have these experiences and they are brand new. They're new. You experience them for the first time. And when you experience that, you may even translate what's going on as not such a good thing. Like I said, maybe the first toothache, maybe the first time you have to buy glasses, maybe the first time you can't hear the way you used to hear, maybe the first time somebody says, I hate you, or somebody cusses you out and you want to do a certain things yourself, and you experience all those things. Those are brand new things. Now, what you need to do is let all of that, behold, all things are new. And that fellow that cussed you out, or that doctor that said you're never going to be the same again, what are you going to do? Are you going to take what's being given to you and become bitter and angry about it? I have many things right now that I can't do what I used to do. I haven't got the stamina. I haven't got the willpower. I haven't got the focus I used to have. I haven't got many things that I used to have. And every bit of that may come back, but I'm telling you right now, it's not. At this point, back. And I do all that I can do. And I'm not going to get bitter over it. I'm not going to get angry over it. I'm going to accept who I am, and I'm going to adjust to the things that I need to adjust to. And you do the same. That guy that said he hated you, you love him. You may have walked away thinking, well, I hate you too. Walk away, and when you get by yourself somewhere, forget about all that hate. He don't hate you. Forget about all that hurt. And just say to yourself, I want a better understanding. That was an experience for me, and I want that experience to be good. And adjust your thinking. And behold, all things are new again. You have the experience, sometimes not the best, sometimes, hallelujah, it's the greatest thing ever was. But when you get away, start thinking about it a little bit and adjust that experience to where that it is exactly what he said. Behold, all things are new. I wipe away all tears from your eyes. Former things are passed away. Start saying all of that so that you can step out of all of those misinterpretations and all those things around you that the interpretations that try to tell you, oh, I can't wait till I get there, so all things will be new. All things are new now. When you get up out of that chair from listening to me and you take the first step, it's a new step. If you turn on the TV, if you go out and take a walk, if it's 2 a.m, which some of you are, and you go to bed, it's a new experience. It's a brand new experience. Every day when you get up, you know, there's a common thing that said, no man can walk through the same water twice because that water keeps moving, and it might be the same creek. It has the same name, but it's never, ever the same water. It's a new experience every single day. Make it the very best you can make it. Behold, all things are new, and that is right now. That has been since the day that you come out of your mother's womb and you are experiencing these things. Stop thinking it's a future thing. It's right now. It's right now. John was standing in the island of Patmos and he was looking back. That was the 21st chapter. He was looking backwards at all the times that things would keep coming up. And he kept saying, behold, all things are new. Behold, a river of life. Behold this. He was looking backwards at all of that. Now we're up here where John was at. We're past the church ages. We're past the new city. We're past all of the messengers. We're past the woman. We're past the church. Now we're over here and we're able to say exactly what John said. This is a brand new world. We're able to say exactly what William Branham said. Since I've been beyond the mountain out yonder, this Bible has never been the same to me. It is a brand new Bible. I read my Bible every day. I know sometimes people get frustrated because I say it's not my absolute. The reason I say that's because it's not. My Bible is the best book I've ever read. It's done the most for me, and it progressed through the ages, but the church ages are over, and that Bible was written, that New Testament Bible was written for the church ages, and they were the New Jerusalem, and they were all these things, but we moved over to the heavenly Jerusalem. We moved over to the other side of the veil, and we are resting in theophany now, and we understand who we are. And we have this great day that's happening all around us. It's a mighty day. It's a wonderful day. Look outside. Look at the sun. Look at the moon. Look at the stars. Look at the botany. Those little animals, those little rabbits, whatever it is running around, and say to yourself, behold, all things are new. I've never seen that rabbit before. I've never seen that animal before. Oh, I've never seen that kind of a flower before. All things are new. Start looking at it the way it is right now. Love bless you. Thank you for listening. If there's anyone out there that needs a touch from the Holy Spirit, that needs a touch, reach inward and connect with the collective body of Jesus Christ. That's who he is right now. And ask for your healing. Lord Jesus, we are the collective body. We ask that you would touch every person. If they need financial assistance, somehow give it to them. If they need food, somehow give it to them. If they need rest, let their eyes close and let them sleep and get the rest they need. If their body needs healing, give it to them. We ask these things. We trust in you. This is a great day. A glorious light, and it is a dark day, and we can fall into either side. Help us to stay high in our vibration. Help us to stay high in our understanding. Help us stay high in our frequency. Let us rest in the highest form of Christ that there is. In his name we ask it all. Amen. Love bless you, and I hope this has helped.